Good evening, everybody. You have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters here on BBS Radio. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And every week I try to present a new paradigm shifter. And what is a paradigm shifter? Is somebody who's making a grand change in the collective thought process in this evolutionary time on our planet. And today, oh, what an exciting guest I have. And with her, she brings a host of other exciting guests. My guest and my fellow radio person is Jackie Salvitti of ET Healing. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Veronica. Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you tonight.
And it's going to be really fun because we're going to find out who Jackie is and why she is for the first few minutes, and Jackie's going to bring in her team of beings, and we're going to ask them some questions and hopefully learn more about what it's like to be a paradigm shifter on the planet and what their goals and aims are. And hopefully we'll laugh a little too, Jackie. What do you think of that?
Absolutely.
Now, I know you say you're in commercial real estate, so I want to know how you, Jackie Salvitti, got into doing ET healing. How did you bridge from, for example, commercial real estate, or was that where the bridge was?
Actually, Veronica, I have known all my life that I was a healer, and I knew all my life that I was being prepared for something. And I actually remember being on the golf course before all this started, and I've had numerous experiences with, my first experience was in the 70s with my children on the highway between Salt Lake City and Las Vegas at night, and that was really our first experience. It was in the 70s.
What was that experience?
We had a ship come in. I had my children with me. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and it was pretty stereotypical. I was driving. I really knew nothing about, you know, extraterrestrials or any, you know, or UFOs, really, other than what little had ever been in the public eye. And
you weren't fascinated by it or obsessed by it or anything?
Absolutely not. We're driving at night, and I look over into the mountains, and I see a glow in this valley, this huge glow. It starts to lift up, and I am struck with terror because I realize, you know, it is such a shock to the mind when it's happening that your conscious mind doesn't know what to do with it. And I tried to outrun the ship. I mean, it was apparent that it was a ship, and the radio went out, then the lights of the car went off, and then the engine stopped. And this ship moved over the top of the car. I mean, I could have literally reached outside if, you know, if I'd had the presence of mind to roll down the window and probably touched the bottom of the ship. That's how close it was.
Wow. Was that frightening? Were you terrified or?
Terrified. I actually had a regression with Dolores Cannon, and it took a while for, and we went back to that experience. It took a while for me to be able to listen to it without getting nauseous.
Had you lost all conscious memory of it before you had the regression?
No, not at all.
Okay.
My children both remembered it. My daughter never talked about it. My son and I both knew about it. My daughter, who is the older of the two, he was 5, she was 12, somewhere in there, you know, maybe 7 and 14, but they were close to that age. And at any rate, they communicated into my head, "We mean you no harm." The words were very clear, "We mean you no harm." Passed over the car, took off at lightning speed. The car lights came back on. The radio came back on. I was able to start the engine. And we went back to that experience in the regression with Dolores to see whether or not I had actually been taken and if the children had been taken. And because, you know, whenever you have an experience like that, it's questionable. You really don't know if there was lost time or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was take my light body. And during the regression, you know, as Dolores talks about in her books, you know, my higher self came through, or unconscious came through, and was definitely talking in third person, and went on to explain that it was time for me to know and to remember. And so they took my light body. It was not intended to hurt me, and of course it sent me on a huge search at that point. Everyone I talked to, I wanted to know if they'd ever seen a UFO. I mean, it was, you know, I became obsessed with it. And
did you feel good at the end of the experience, or were you still kind of frightened or startled? Numb.
Well, again, it was a very emotional time because I was having a problem in my marriage. So I was already upset and emotional during things. I was leaving my husband. And so, you know, I had a lot of emotion going on anyway. But it opened a tremendous number of doors, and people started bringing me manuscripts and information, journals of their experiences aboard ship. I mean, over time, things started coming to me from everywhere. And I really didn't understand why. I kept throwing this stuff away. It was really funny, since I had no idea.
Wow. Isn't that interesting, huh?
I started a metaphysical group in 1987, after my husband and I split up.
But was that based on the UFO search?
No, it was. We did a lot of Lazarus stuff and things like that. And but as it turned out, a lot of the people worked at Area 51 and would come in and bring in information. You know, it's always been there, circling around me. And then I started another group, and there was about 60 members, and started facilitating all different kinds of people who had written books and this and that. That one went on for a couple of years. That was in the 90s. And so, you know, we were having... it was just common occurrence. I mean, I could sit down and read somebody, and I could see the, you know, the ETs around them and stuff. It almost was like I kind of thought everybody else could see this stuff. It never occurred to me that it was just me.
That you're special. You're really strange.
You know, you know, you just don't think about it. And so, you know, I've certainly had, and of course I started... going to see Bashar, who was doing his channelings here in Las Vegas in 94, 95.
And for people who don't know, Bashar is a channeled being who's a hybrid from the future, part human and part Esasani, right?
Well, actually, he's a human gray hybrid that was genetically, their race was genetically engineered. And so, in other words, they took the hybridization and then did some alterations to create a separate race. There have been other races created as well from those hybridizations, but they are from the future. And so, you know, my experiences actually, you know, were pretty normal, but I certainly never thought until I remember... maybe a year or two before all this really happened to me, I was on the golf course with my girlfriend, and I said, when they make their move, the ETs, I'll be the bridge. I have no idea where that came from, and I forgot all about saying it until after it all happened. So,
and it's the bridge of what? Is it the bridge of us knowing and connecting with extraterrestrial consciousness, with us becoming universal?
Yes, absolutely, of remembering who we really are, of our roots. This is our roots. They're our family.
So when you talked about, for example, Bashar being a part of an engineered race, is that not true for us as well?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And this is the thing that, you know, again, for people who are very religious, and I would have to say, and this is something I have known for many, 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 many years, and I don't know how I knew, and of course I've heard other people now say it as well, but... you know, when the person that we know as Jesus came to the planet, you know, the Star of Bethlehem and all of this other, I mean, he was very much a star being and came in to assist us. You know, our creators, and this is where we have real difficulty, is what we have been told on this planet, that we are the center of the universe, you know, and assist us in God.
It's a practical use of a lot of space, isn't it?
Right. There are a whole lot of pieces missing.
Well, I'm a lot slower than you about getting some of that, except that the whole idea of Jesus being a star being, I don't even have a glitch in my understanding of that at all. It's like, that makes so much sense.
Well,
and also in the Egyptian times when they said the sons of God married sons of man, I just assumed that was space beings. Right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Other races. And of course, the Egyptians were very much in touch with the beings of Sirius. And, you know, this is something that, this is a reawakening on our planet. This is not, and it's very important. And that's why I was so committed to it. You know, you asked me, you know, how do you make the leap from commercial real estate into this?
Mm-hmm.
And
in a way, it isn't a leap. It's just expanding your commercial real estate territory.
Well, I would say that the only real leap. Now, I don't think there is a leap. Once this really happened to me, it took me 2 weeks to leave my former life and be here to begin.
Hmm.
There was absolutely, I was so driven, and I knew that this would be a challenge for people to, you know, my children.
But wait a sec, Jackie, when you say it only took you 2 weeks, that's not from seeing the ship with your children. This is from
No. The
awakening at the golf course?
No, this was, I actually went to, I had an experience where I was awakened and told to, of all things, to look up Alpha Centauri on the computer, and that it was time for me to write a book. It was 4:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking, hello?
You're in a different time zone.
Yes, and so I got up the next morning, you know, a couple of hours later, and went in, and the computer was down all day long. Our cable was down. And I had no idea what Alpha Centauri was. Now, the Centaurians that I had been working with and seeing all along never occurred to me that they were extraterrestrials.
Why not? What did they look like?
Centaurians, you know, to me, they looked like, you know, they had uniforms and so on and so forth. And I went and actually got a bust of Centaurians, okay, and hung it at my house, and I looked at it and I went, oh, that's not them, and took it down.
Hmm.
And but I never fully made the connection. I, you know, there is a lot of naivete in me that makes me laugh when I look back at it in retrospect. So and I knew in the 90s, 94, 95, that they were energizing the water in my pool. When I had this big group, you know, we would go out and put our feet in the water as we do meditations. And I obviously knew all along. What's interesting to me is that I knew, but it wasn't anything that I was, I'll explain that. It's like it wasn't time. And so, you know, it wasn't anything I made a big deal about. To me, it was just matter of fact. Until I, as soon as I had this thing in the middle of the night, that day I got a notice about a UFO conference in Laughlin and looked it up, and I thought, well, people that go to these are all kooks, you know.
Define kook.
Well, you know, I had seen, someone who remained nameless walking around with a tinfoil pyramid on their head, you know, at a different conference, and he was very much into the abduction thing, and I thought, nah, I don't want to do this. So I went on to see who had been the speakers the previous year, who was going to speak this year, that year, and who had been the speakers previous years, and I saw a picture of Dr. John Mack, and the moment I saw it, it went, literally triggered something in me, and I was obsessed to meet him. I knew that I knew him, and that this was a big piece for me, and I could not explain that. I booked out 10 days, is that right? 10 days, at least 10 days out of, I was an outside consultant for Chevron and also doing a lot of legal work, doing investigations for an attorney and so on, all having to do with the petroleum industry. And I just told everybody, I'm going to a UFO conference. Everybody just
was
like,
what? Great.
And somehow I knew as I was packing, I was laughing with my girlfriend, that somebody else was packing my clothes. And I was dancing around singing I'm Coming Out. So obviously at some level I knew. And it was there that I met Adrian DeVere and watched his presentation and had them interact with me in the audience. And literally moving, I had a gold medallion on, moving the medallion around my chest and did a healing on me while I was in the audience while he was making his presentation.
And tell, who is Adrian DeVere?
Adrian DeVere wrote a book called I think it's X3 Healing Entities and Aliens. I believe that's it.
X3 Healing Aliens?
Aliens and Entities. And he's from Israel. He made this presentation, and he was doing healings with extraterrestrials, and he had a group of people in Israel that were doing the same thing. He made this presentation at the UFO conference. I did not go there to see him, but the moment I walked in and sat down and he came out on the podium, I had a real connection to him, and he was explaining that there were tripods in the room, giant tripods, filming us, you know, as he was doing his presentation, and I could see them. And he said, just go ahead, if you want a healing of any kind, just ask for something, and I did. And I was having a problem with my thymus of burning, tremendous burning. And as soon as he put the house lights down, my medallion started moving across my chest. And I was also having a problem with my adrenals, and I got this poke in my kidney and my adrenals. And I'm like, oh, this is so wonderful. I just, it was so natural to me. Hmm. When it was over, I walked out to meet him, and I just, he and I clicked. We seemed to know each other. I went to my room. There was an extraterrestrial that was walking with me, walked right through the door into my room, and female. And I laughed all the rest of the week that she was up there trying on all my clothes. And
tell me, was John Mack at the UFO club?
No, he was not. I met him 2 weeks later, maybe a week or 2 weeks later in San Francisco. And that was at the screening of his film, Touched, and that was a very powerful experience. I came to understand very quickly that Adrian, John, and myself had a connection. And for those that don't know, Adrian died. Adrian knew that I was going to do what I'm doing now. And that the night that I of his presentation, I was taken before this huge council. This experience. What was interesting? Not only were all these races there, but also, and this kind of challenges people, Christ was there, Buddha was there, you know, this is where nothing is separate. And they laid out before me my entire life and said, you know, this is when you were first taken, this is why, this is what we all agreed to, you were co-creatively designed, you agreed to the way you walk, talk, act, look, speak, everything. And two things had to happen before you could come forward. One was the Da Vinci Code, and the other one was 9/11. And otherwise, you would be there was a reason for those. 9/11 shocked the consciousness of man. The Da Vinci Code kind of busted open the whole lie about the feminine. And that made the consciousness of man more malleable. And this was global. 9/11 was really global. And basically they said if you had come forward any sooner, you would have been discredited and lost heart and never completed what you were here to do.
Hmm.
And I woke up crying, jumped in the shower, ran downstairs to find Adrian and told him, and he just grabbed his heart and kind of blanched backwards, and he said, oh my God, the same thing happened to me. And I was like, wow. So Adrian really pushed me. I was supposed to go to Israel and meet all the healers. He was very excited. I had no idea that I was going to end up doing what he did. It took me weeks before I understood it all.
And when did he pass?
he died in June of 2004. I began the work in April. And I had no intentions. I had come to make a presentation in Las Vegas of his work. And with some friends, I lived in California, and I'd come, my girlfriend said, well, come, I had to go to a conference here. She said, well, come and present his work, you know, and I'll hold something in my home. And while I was here, well, even before I left, I had a series of experiences that were very profound. And it was all, they had already picked out my house, they were already building the clinic.
You mean your team had your guidance?
Absolutely. Everything was already done. And, you know, it kind of challenged. In the conference I went to, we opened this huge portal. Everybody was whacked. There were 11 of us. And it was so, you know, it's too long a story. I mean, I could go through the whole hour with all the details.
Well, I'd like to ask one question here, which is, what is your, can you describe your work? I don't mean the details of how you do your wonderful sessions. I mean, is this work bridging so we can handle a, I know it's a purification thing for the soul, but is it bridging so we can handle an extraterrestrial inclusion in our consciousness? Is that what your work is?
I would say that's a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the essence of the work is for those that we work with. You're all star beings. Everybody is. But the ones that we tend to work with are the ones that came here to be the bridges. All right? And they got locked into the human experience and got really damaged because, you know, those that, from what I have seen, yourself included, Veronica, we feel the highs higher, the lows lower. We got really beat up. We have some grand plans this lifetime, but we got pretty beat up. And so there was an accelerated movement to get people healed, cleared up, cleaned up, so that they could step into their work to be their form of bridge, because each one of you are going to do it differently, to do your great work. And so, in essence, it's accelerated healing to get people ready to remember their star heritage, who they truly are, and be able to assist other people.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's more than that. The sessions happen through the archetypes. This is what I was told from the very beginning. And so every session is literally having an impact on the blueprint of human consciousness trickling down into the collective. And many of you took on an awful big piece of the collective in this lifetime. So you all needed, you know, myself included, needed assistance. And, you know, we had a great plan.
Yeah, because I realize also that your work is about the collective of the people you work with, as well as impacting the collective so that we can all move as bridges, right?
Each person that we work with, we are working through lineage, through nationality that they carry, okay? So, in essence, each person gives us an opportunity to work with almost a million people, maybe more. You know, I don't go into this a lot because it challenges the conscious mind. You know, the conscious mind will say, oh, yeah, right. But that has been their desire because there is really no time. So, in essence, we can go back in time, and I always say we because I seem to be working on the other side of the veil as well very actively. Certainly another part of me, and to work with all of these other lifetimes to, or these other, you know, family members, if you will, your lineage, and have an impact on all of that, okay? So let's say every person that has a session, and let's say there's, you know, a million 1.2 million people in their lineage, if each one of them are being impacted, it's having a huge impact overall. They're not going to be impacted as greatly, let's say, as the client is. But it is, we can go back, if we're having an impact in the past, that changes the future.
Well, and if you're changing the DNA, for example, of the people you're working with, or the cellular structure, that emanates, doesn't it? It radiates, it vibrates into the pool, right?
Absolutely.
Now, is this Adrienne DeVere's style of work as well?
No.
Okay.
Adrienne was more of a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And Adrienne was really fascinated. He did a lot of dialogue with Command Central and wanted to know more about the ships and the races and the this and the that, and how the ships are propelled, and, you know, he was far more into the technical aspect of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I started my work, I knew that our work was going to be different. When I say our, I'm talking about those that I work with. That it was more designed around the emotional body, because that is the real anathema. We started out doing just healings. And I thought, if I have to do this forever, I will slash my wrist. I mean, I'm being very candid here. I just thought, I can't do this. You know, I had visions of people lined up out the front door, and I just thought, no, this is not empowering. And so, you know, I mean, obviously, the real goal was to work on the level of consciousness, individual consciousness, collective consciousness, and the emotional body. The emotional body is really an anathema to a lot of races, because as a race, we are put together so totally unique compared to other races in the universe. We carry genetics of about 26 different races. You know, 20, you know, various, you know, we'll say 21 to 26. I'd say 26 is a closer number. Not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people. Doesn't mean that there's one person who's just one race. I mean, you've got a lot of, it's in what they call the junk DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are unique. And this is one of the reasons that so many beings are so involved in wanting to see things progress here.
Is it so that we're one of the few species with such a strong emotional body?
Yes.
Is that the fall from the Garden of Eden?
No. We're an experiment. I mean, you know, I hate to get into some of this stuff, but in essence, it's true. Okay, there were a lot of different changes and agreements and adjustments, and, you know, when you get a lot of different races involved, there was a lot of different things going on. We are unique in that we experience ourselves as separate from our source. And, you know, there are races, Bashar talks about this, out there that don't even believe that consciousness could have been created in such a way that a race would experience itself as separate from its source. Now, I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm, I do too. Mind boggles. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we are, where we get into trouble on this, or got into trouble on this planet, is with religion. And religion kind of twisted everything around. And
so that was to keep us in line, wasn't it?
Yes, it was control. And, you know, going back to Jesus, his words were so profound. These things I do and greater you could do also.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled with being a human as well, with all the temptations of being human, you know, with the emotional body of being human. You know, this is not an easy planet to be on. There are a lot of challenges. Tremendous soul growth here, because you come in with all kinds of restrictions in terms of remembering your magnificence. I think the other thing that's fascinating about humans is that we've gone further into the dark than any race has ever gone and come back out of our own volition without interference. We have an incredible capacity to love. Unfortunately, we also have an incredible capacity to hate.
Mm-hmm. And control and all of that.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm also fascinated by your team, who's wonderful, and wondered if you could bring them through for a while for a few more questions.
Absolutely. I would be happy to. Just give me a few moments.
Not that this couldn't go on for a long time. It's fascinating.
Right.
Thank you. The big story is great.
All right. All right, Veronica, here we are.
Welcome. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, because you're certainly participating in a huge paradigm shift. Thank you.
Well, you're most welcome, and welcome to all of you listening out there. It's our joy to be with you this evening and to be with dear Veronica.
Thank you so much.
We understand you have some questions for us.
I have some wonderful questions. I have asked Jackie, what is the job she's doing? And I would love to know how you, and I know your consciousness of many levels, and I just wondered how you express, what's your job description? What is it you're doing?
What is it that we're doing? Oh, all right.
We don't have a long time. It's too bad, because
all right. Well, let's begin.
Like your commitment, and you know, you came here for a strong purpose, and boy, we can feel it.
Yes, we came to assist. We came to assist, and we need humans to assist through. All right.
Oh, okay.
Now, is this beginning to make sense to you?
Yes, indeed.
All right. There has to be permission, you see. There's been a very strong non-interference policy, and so therefore, there have to be people, and this is the channel told her story, all right? And the story, in terms of the way that she was co-created, et cetera, many of you came in, all right, with an agreement that at a certain point you would wake up and remember who you were.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So our goal is to help reawaken you.
Hmm.
Now, not only reawaken, but to assist you in being able to accept the magnitude, the assistance of who you are. Assistance from us and who you are. All right?
And to what end? So that we can become galactic beings, or we can become fully...
Well, you're becoming galactic beings. You already are galactic beings.
Mm-hmm.
But the remembrance of that, the acceptance of that, you see, this is one of the problems. For many of you, it's so damned foreign that it can be frightening. For those of you that agreed, yes, this is the lifetime, I'm going to come in, I'm going to help be a bridge. Because there's going to come a time, you see, in the not too distant future, we will never give a date, but not too distant, where more and more people are going to be aware of ships and this and that and the other thing. And it's already happening. It's not that it's not. But it's going to become more. And there needs to be a ground crew, which is what you are.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to say to people, yes, it's true. Yes, they love you. They're here to assist. They're your family, our family. Now, you can't shove it down their throats, for crying out loud, but to be comfortable enough yourself, reconnected enough yourself, to be able to be that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to look for others to seek comfort, to seek sanity.
And to seek expansion instead of just a contraction or a hiding or a...
Many will seek expansion, and they may go to... But remember, there are going to be a lot of people whose concept of reality is going to be shattered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's going to be there to assist them? You see?
It's already happening, isn't it? Quite a bit of that.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And the goal is for each one of you to be well along your way here, to to be healed yourselves, to be comfortable yourselves, to have a relationship. With the cosmos, to remember yourself that you are indeed a star being.
And how did you know to come at this time? How did you know? Do you have, this is a very mechanical question. Do you have telephone? No, you know, how's the communication, the timing, and all of that set up?
There were many, many, many. This is so much bigger than you can possibly imagine, Veronica. There's no way for you to really grasp at a conscious level how big all of this is.
Mm.
Now, we can give you some pieces. Some pieces we can't fully yet. All right? There's much resting on what happens on this planet. Far more than you realize. What's happening here is impacting in a very big way. Now, don't go to the negative side of this. It's impacting in a very big way your universe. There's an integration going on, not only for you on Earth, but for the entire universe. Now, if you think about this, and we're going to be careful about what pieces we give, not because we don't love you, but because we can only give certain things. And here's the reason. All right? You, as a race, have said, no, no, no. Don't fix it for us yet. Don't do it. We're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to figure this out. So we're going to say it this way. Your role is bigger than you know. Your importance in the cosmos is bigger than you know. There are some races that don't want anything to do with humans. They consider you still too primitive.
I think we consider ourselves primitive, too.
Yes, exactly. But, you see, in the last couple of years, the changes that have occurred, the shifts in the collective, the numbers of you that are opening are far bigger than even we had hoped.
Wonderful.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, without direct interference. Now, that's quite big. That's very big.
We also have aspects of our...
Hold, we'd like to finish this one.
Okay,
hold on,
I'm sorry.
Second. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, this is your show, you know. We want you to understand that everyone and everything is involved. Don't limit your ideas and concepts of what extraterrestrials are.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning not of your Earth, the full scope of that, all right,
mm-hmm.
It includes everything. Everything. Everything out there working together. Loving you, including many of the beings that have left your planet that are assisting as well. And so many of you working in the dream state as well. Many of you working aboard ships, doing other things, as well as doing grids and this and that. Oh, my goodness. All kinds of things. Teaching, educating, preparing for a coming together. And the scope of this, the numbers of this, far beyond anything you can imagine. So when you say, how did we know? Well, all right. Remember, your concepts include time. Ours do not. ours evolve around timing, not time. All right, go ahead now.
Well, I had a number of things. One is, and thank you for that. That was wonderful. You've partially answered my question, which is, I know parts of us do exist out of this third dimensional conscious realm anyway, right?
All right. Well, here we get into definitions again. All right. Many of you are popping in and out of body even during the day. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You go from one room to the next. You've lost the keys or whatever. You can't remember what you went into that room for. Now, you could have left your body, boom, gone somewhere, been there for hours because time translates differently, you see, once you move out of the physical, and come back. You see, it's still very difficult. We have to be careful always about how we tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say, are there parts of you? Many of you. Well, in fact, we'd say most of you have other lifetimes that are participating absolutely
mm-hmm.
on the other side of the veil. And we're talking about non-human lifetimes. And the work that we've been doing with all of you, with your future selves. Your future selves, many of you, your future selves are participating as well. So, the sensing, Veronica, that you have, that there's something more of you that's participating is absolute.
Mm-hmm.
You'll all at some point walk around and instead of saying I, you'll say we. You'll become aware, you see. That you're far more than what you perceived. Because you've seen yourself as a single individual, separate from your source, walking through, perceptually, a very narrow experience. There's far more of you. In some cases, there are other experiences of you that sent small pieces of themselves into physicality. Again, you see, as we start explaining some of these things, it'll set you off, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find a place to put this, because there is nowhere for you to put it.
Is there a way to accelerate our awakening that you can recommend to all of us?
Heal, 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 heal.
Mm.
Seek healing. But with discernment. With discernment. Use your discernment. Each and every one of you is at a different level in your own evolution. Now, if you carry a very high frequency, right, you may want to be more cautious about, all right, well, who's touching me? Do I run out and get massages? Do I do this? Do I do that? For some of you, you can see energy, but for many of you, you don't see it yet. But there's a constant exchange of energy going on all the time. And if people are carrying a lot of damage and so on, you may want to think twice about, oh, let me have this one give me a rub down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or work on my meridians or my whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
cranial sacral or whatever kind of healing you're receiving. You're going to start realizing that you're going to want to use more discernment.
Mm-hmm.
How healed are they?
Mm.
How healed are they?
I sure understand that.
Mm. Yes. Now, you're a great example, Veronica. You're very sensitive.
I am, yes.
Yes.
But the sensitivity needs to be, I say to people, it's your greatest strength, but you have to learn to manage it, right?
Well, more and more you want to be able to. Right, and this, of course, is the next step in your evolution, is to hold your individuation and yet at the same time be able to go into these places and move out, go in and move out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy for all of you. It's part of the process. part of the process.
Are you also in a state of evolution yourselves, always in a state of healing?
Of course, everything's in a state. It never stops evolving. There is no end. No matter where or when, there is no end in evolution. It is forever. Why, you'd all be bored to hell if not.
It's just so interesting because how I perceive you now is so many, kind of beautiful light flows of consciousness that are moving around. I'm going, well, you can't really give you a rub down. I'm sure about that.
Well, no, we don't get rubbed down at all.
But
no, we, again, it's very difficult for all of you to perceive, well, how can, you know, are you a group consciousness? Well, the energy comes through in the form of a group consciousness. That's kind of a loose definition. But if we were to say to you, well, you can't perceive the numbers of beings involved in the agreements, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say all of this comes through a central clearinghouse, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to keep this simple.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to say it's homogenized, because that's not really fair either, but in an essence, blending it together to come out as a voice through the channel. A multitude of different beings, individuated beings, coming together as a group. Little different than a mass consciousness,
mm-hmm.
but you're perceiving it as such, as a single voice, because you're humans, and so you're thinking in singularity rather than in plural.
Is ego a human thing, or do you
yes.
use that word perhaps with more of an evolved definition?
Ego tends to be more of a human thing, and there are yes, ego has to do with the splitting on it. It has more to do with dealing with the shadow aspects. And ego has more to do with a race that's not quite as evolved and able to perceive on higher. Ego is needed in order to protect the individual. Now, the ego got out of control for humans, but you know that.
Well, it's something that we're using, isn't it, as a tool of evolution at times, too. We have to keep working it, right?
Integration, healing, integration. All right, working with your shadow.
Working with the shadow. And also about identity, it seems to me that aspects of your nature has a strong, wonderful personality and identity. Is it, how would you see identity?
Michelle, we don't understand that question quite.
Well, we seem to have a personality, an identity, a personal journey, and so on. And there you are in this coalescing, wisdom and love. And so on. I just was curious as to how you use that word, identity, whether...
How do we use the word identity?
Do you identify individually, or is
that... Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Again, if you were to actually understand how many beings are involved in this transmission, It might be a little unnerving. Now, is each individual adding a word? No. Is it a collective dreaming? Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. All right, good.
And it's very beautiful from this perspective.
Well, we thank you. We think you're beautiful as well.
Thank you so much. And I'll have to draw this to a close, but I feel honored that you spent time with us. And
oh, it was wonderful to spend time with you, Veronica. You know that we love you dearly. And to all of you out there listening, We love you.
Thank you. We love you as well. Thank you for all the paradigm shifting you're doing.
Well, and we thank all of you for doing your part, your role. We know it's difficult. Please understand that all those out there send their love and know that it's not easy. You are loved. You are understood. And so are you, Veronica.
Thank you so much. Much love to you, and thank you.
Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Are we off?
No, we're still on.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. That was so wonderful. Your own story is so interesting, Jackie, that we'll have to do it again and do more. But I really loved what they said as well, and take us to a much grander feeling of what's going on here.
Oh, I'm glad. Unfortunately, I don't know what they said.
We'll send you a copy of your own wonderful expression.
Sometimes, I get pieces, but when they really ramp up the energy to do, to communicate with a large number of beings, there's a lot more energy coming through, and I tend to hold much less, in this case, almost nothing.
Well, I love when I ask them how they know to come here now. Do you have telephones and so on?
You didn't ask them that.
I did, yeah. Well, because there's such a vastness, such an amazing connection and knowing that goes on. It still mesmerizes me at times.
I'm going to share this. My experience has been, I feel in many ways like I've been spoon-fed with information.
Excellent.
A little at a time. And it's interesting, when I read Dolores's books, she feels the same way. And I think that, it's been very important not to overwhelm us with too much information. They once told Dolores that... that there is some information that would be like poison to the human mind. And I think that that's very profound.
Yeah.
I find that insights pop in at the strangest times, when all of a sudden all the pieces will fit together.
Yeah.
And I'll go, oh my gosh, that's how it all works. And, but I can't hold it. It's like it goes in, I get the recognition, and there's like this big shift that happens. And then somehow it moves into this larger integration, and it becomes part of me. But to be able to pull out that particular understanding, I can't do it. It's very interesting to me that, and it's not that it's unloving. I think it's very loving. I think it's very intentional, so that we don't get overwhelmed, and so that nobody runs away, in terms of their ego. It's really... I see it as being very, very clear to me that they want us in process together, and working together in a wonderful, in a coalescing, finding a unity between us, and I think that that's what's so beautiful.
It's wonderful. They also are very eloquent and loving about the word ego. And how we required it to kind of hold, the way I'm reinterpreting it is holding together our identity for just what you're saying. It's like keeping us together, It's not all a bad thing.
It's an essential
component here on a human plane.
Unless it's ego run amok.
Well, I think they mentioned that too, but the compassionate part is something we don't hear that often, and they do it beautifully.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Well, thank you.
It's been a joy
so
to be on your program. Thank you so much for having us. And to all of your listeners, thank you. It's been a joy. I would certainly say, for any of you that are interested, when you hear this show, the night that you hear it, the team will be aware. You're certainly welcome to call them in that night.
Great.
And ask them to work with you. Veronica, thank you so much for having us on.
And you better give your website.
It is www.ethealing.com. And the program that Veronica and I do together is ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Veronica is brilliant, and I adore her.
Thank you.
On Thursday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time.
And thank you
BBS
so
Radio.
Much. Yes, BBS. Wonderful BBS. I've so enjoyed this time with you, Jackie, and the team, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Veronica. Much love to everyone.
Much love.
Get my feet back on the ground. My friends all laughed at me. They said you'll never change. I wonder if they're laughing now. No reason why.
This is Rick Holden, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com, just the best darn internet radio network there ever was or ever will be. And you can get my song, Killing Me, on my album, Holding Out, at Rick.